We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello and welcome to F1 Explains. I'm Christian Hugill and this is the official Formula One podcast which answers your questions. You can send yours to F1Explains at F1.com. You send in the questions and we find the experts to answer them in F1 paddocks like this one at Silverstone, where in front of me I can see, well, as well as everything being set up for the weekend and all the big motorhomes that travel with the teams across the European races, I can also see possibly the flashiest table football set I've ever seen outside a motorhome that actually looks like a boat. I don't think it is a boat. Producer Chris, what is it?
It looks like the back of a boat.
That's not like the back of a boat. I think it's just a fancy VIP area, but there we are. That is what you see in an F1 paddock. Slightly random things like that. And this week, we're answering a question sent in by listeners on either side of the Atlantic. Stacey in Colorado and also Reshma in London. They both want to know about the mechanics who work in F1 team garages. Who they are, what they do, and how they get their job. So to answer Stacey and Reshma's questions, we've called in a favour from our wonderful friends at the Kick Sauber team, who are actually based, coincidentally, next door to the boat-like structure. Their motorhome looks more spaceship-like. It's got a lime green line going across the floor and looks quite big and sort of rounded and white. It looks like it could have just landed from a different planet. It hasn't. It's the Sauber team. As I move away in the paddock to avoid being ran over by some people on a tour. Hello, people on a tour. Hello there, they're having a lovely time. So yes, we're going to be with Sauber, where myself and my wonderful co-presenter Katie Osborne have spent some time with the team, both here at Silverstone, and we've also been roughly 3,189 miles, as I calculate it, away from where I'm standing now, over at the Circuit Gilles Villeneuve in Montreal, Canada. So on this week's F1 Explains, we're going to be meeting three key members of the Sauber team, people we don't usually get to hear from, people who have fascinating and important jobs. We'll give you an idea of what the people you see on the TV across a race weekend actually do. We'll be meeting engineers who look after bodywork, tyres, and also a car chief mechanic. Without these people, it's very simple. Sauber drivers Valtteri Bottas and Zhou Guanyu wouldn't even get out on track. We've been behind the scenes with Sauber on the Thursday of two F1 weekends when the garage is a hive of activity. It's right in front of us now, the Sauber garage, and it's where the team are getting the cars and the garage itself ready and set up for the weekend. And you're about to hear three of the team's key people pop out to see us and tell us a little bit about what they do. So let's start by heading back to Canada and talking tyres.
My name is Dominic Chen, and I'm a tyre engineer.
Right on. And where are you from?
I'm from Hong Kong.
How many people are from Hong Kong on the team? Are you the only?
Yes.
Way to represent.
Dominic, your job involves tyre performance. Just give us a rundown. What does your job involve and how do you do it?
My job is to try to understand the tyres. We have different activities. When we were in the factory, we try to do some laboratory testing of the tire to try to understand how the tire will behave in different conditions. We have different kind of test rig, and then we use those information to increase the accuracy of our simulation tools and also use in the simulator. Then we try to use those information to help with the development direction of the car and also the setup direction, and then we use it in the weekend to help us to make decision.
Man, the job to try and understand the tire, that to me is, every time I see a new tire here, a different compound, trying to understand it, God bless you who can figure that out. How does your work change from practice sessions to qualifying to race, race setup, and beyond?
So every session we have different goal. So usually in the practice session on the Friday, we try to collect as much data as possible. Yep. So there are always something you can simulate, but there are always something that you cannot simulate, and we need to collect track data to validate it. So in the practice session, we will try to understand, in, for example, to simulate in qualifying or in long distance race distance, how the tire will perform, how will it change react to temperature, and if there's some change on the track surface, how does it impact our tire behavior consistency.
Dominic, what our listeners are often fascinated by is what people like you are doing when we see TV pictures inside the garage. So at any given point in a session, when the camera looks into the garage, whereabouts would you be? And what would you be typically looking at while a session's on, say a practice session, while the drivers are on the track?
So I will be standing in the middle of the garage. So there's what we call the isola, and then I'm the one on the right hand side.
There you go. Yeah.
I love the fact that you could see that you were thinking about where you were and where you are in the lineup.
Well, this is it. This is what this F1 Explains is all about. what do these people do? You know, someone in the middle onto the right, they're looking at tyres. It's fantastic. And Dominic, it sounded to me like your job starts before the weekend, when you're sort of guessing how the tyres are going to behave. How do you then use that data over the course of the weekend?
Depends on the event. Some events, they are more special, more tricky than the others. Some events, we go to them every year, so we have already got good amount of data from the historical data. But some of them, they are completely new, then we need to do more preparation work. We will look in the previous year data to see what is special for that event, and we also do lots of simulator session, so we have a basic understanding what we predict that will happen.
So you have all of this pre-data, if you will, and then you come to a place like Montreal where we all have our raincoats available and umbrellas standing by, and with the potential of weather and the changes on any given race weekend, how do you manage? Is it you as a lone soldier, or are you saying, hey, look, strategy, let's join in. We got to figure out these tires because the weather is really going to impact how they're going to perform.
We work with different departments. We work with the strategy a lot, the race engineer, the performance engineer. So we will see how the weather's like, how it has changed. It will also have an impact to how it will affect the car setup, how it will affect the tire temperature, tire pressure. So those are all of them we have to consider it. It will also impact how the run plan is during the weekend.
Do you always think about tires? Are you always thinking about tires?
Even when you go home at night, are you still thinking tires, tires, tires?
Black object.
Yeah, I cannot stop thinking about them.
just wondering, is that like, I mean, it must consume so much of your professional world.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Are you constantly communicating? So if you're looking at how the tyres are performing, presumably people who do your job must have a real important part of the role to then talk to the strategy team, talk to the car setup team. Presumably you guys are providing a lot of feedback around the garage.
Yeah, especially with the strategy, it has a huge impact because we have to understand how many laps you can do with the tire, and whether you need to, for a specific track, we have to manage the tire to reduce the degradation. So this will have a huge impact to the strategy.
Yeah, it's amazing how those two must then work closely. And I think, again, this is so much about how do we get involved with Formula One without being a driver? And how did you get the role to be a part of a team like this with that kind of specific job?
I don't really know, but I just applied for the job and yeah, and then
just applied for it. Here you are.
Yes.
But have you always been interested in engineering? Did you look to try and go into the world of cars at school? Is it something that always interested you?
Yeah, I'm always interested in engineering and in motorsport, and especially in vehicle dynamics. And I think the tire is an interesting part of the vehicle dynamics, because the tire is, you know, it's the only contact between
the
car and the ground. I mean, in a normal condition. So
you hope it is anyway. Yeah, something's gone wrong if it isn't.
Yeah. So most of the force that you generate to accelerate the car is through the tire. So it's an important and interesting area. So that's why I like this.
Absolutely fascinating insight. Thank you. What's next? What are you going to do now? Now you've finished doing a podcast interview.
Now I'm going back. I have a coffee, and then there will be a meeting soon about the preparation for tomorrow.
Huge thanks to Dominic at Sauber. It's amazing how tyres have an impact on pretty much everything on an F1 weekend. Speaking of which, we're walking past Haas, where Kevin Magnussen's tyres appear in front of us. Always nice to see Kevin Magnussen's tyres over a race weekend. Tyres are such an integral part of the team's weekend, and if you want to find out more about how important they are, me and Katie actually spoke to one of the big bosses of Pirelli, Mario Isola, on the podcast last year. So scroll back on this feed to find it. Right, let's go from tyres to a technician. Next in Canada, myself and Katie spoke to someone whose F1 weekend revolves around bodywork.
My name is Michael Loco, and I'm a composite technician of car of Valtteri Bottas.
Michael, we're going to need to go back to basics here for
very
people like
so.
Me who aren't that intelligent.
You're very intelligent, to be clear, but moving forward.
I'm not as intelligent as Michael, trust me. What does composite mean? Just explain a little bit more about the very basics of your job.
Well, composite, Formula One car, so many pieces of composite, carbon stuff. And we have a lot to do on the bodywork, the cooling options, brake parts, rear wing, front wing, and floors.
So it's the carbon fiber, it's the bits of the very car itself.
Yeah.
That's what you oversee. That's what you oversee? The bits?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. And what does that entail? So when you say you kind of oversee the bits and the bops of a Formula One car, give us a rundown. If we showed up today on a Thursday in Montreal, what are you doing?
Well, on the first day, now the car is near to be ready, and we now prepare the spare parts and all the different options for this weekend.
Are you the person who's actually responsible? So if they don't all leave the track, then they're like looking at Michael to be like, hey, where's that extra nut and bolt? Or is it a little bit more than that in the big picture?
It's more.
Okay.
But it's more than that.
Again, what would you sort of describe, Michael, the job, the responsibilities of a composite technician? If you spoke to somebody who'd never been in a Formula One garage before, what would you say about, this is what I do?
All the black stuff.
So many
percent of a Formula One car is carbon, and we have so thin parts, and the car goes off after one lap, maybe we have some damage, and then we have to repair it in the session, after the session, and in the evening.
So that's when your day becomes very busy.
Yes.
Why is that? Why is it very busy at that point?
What's the time?
Yeah. Okay.
Time.
So it's
between the FP1 and FP2, then we are complete in the rush.
Wow. I love a good thrash and dash when it comes from a viewer's point of view. It's nice to see a thrash and dash. For you, the team doesn't love that when your guys are just trying to get it back together in one piece, right?
I hope so.
So, Michael, you're fixing broken bodywork.
Yeah.
If bodywork gets damaged. Presumably, you're making sure the bodywork's working as it should as well. I'm guessing you're making sure that parts are doing what they should do, that it's working out.
We have some parts that we can change. If we have a lot of spare parts, maybe not all the time the same spec, and if some part is damaged, then we have to be careful if we can repair properly and in this time that the cars go out, or we have to change it.
This is a really stupid question, but how do you repair a part? Are you bolting new bits on? Are you getting a new part?
It's not bolting. The most of the part is to crack the carbon. And then we try to fix them in position with glue.
Okay, so you use glue?
Yeah, we have a lot of many different glues. Different glue, laminate, and
really?
Resin, and yeah.
Okay, see, that's where I'm just trying to figure out. I know, like, in NASCAR, we see duct tape across.
Yes, we have a lot of duct tape.
Yeah,
aluminium tape, but yeah, it's the same.
I've always said in motorsport, no matter which motorsport you go into, you see cable ties and you see duct tape. Yeah. Is that the same in Formula One?
We try not to use them.
Just try. Doesn't say never.
So then at that point, Michael, do you have a team underneath you? Or are you managing others to try and make sure the work is done?
We
or
try
are you...
them to help each other. While, yeah, we are only three people in the composite. One is the senior and make all the stuff for more office and look for the next race. And the other guys is complete for one car.
Okay.
And in the build-up days, we have to, because of the Leica now, we have to be ready in one time with all the pieces. Mm. And it's not easy when I do only the rear wings or only the front wings. Then we have to work together.
What's the piece that you don't want to have broken the most? What's the hardest piece to fix on the car? That duct tape doesn't do it. That glue doesn't do it.
Some fences on the floor.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Floors are complicated, aren't
yes.
they?
Yes. Yeah. Depends of the years before. But now at the moment, yeah, it's the floor.
Michael, this episode of F1 Explains came about because some of our listeners were interested in what all the people in the garage do. We just spoke to one of your colleagues on Tyre Performance, Dominic, who we enjoyed the fact that he was able to tell us he stood, as you look at the garage, in the middle on the right. We now know they're tyre people. Whereabouts are you stood? Or sat or under? Wherever
you're
walking, in the garage.
Are you a pacer? Maybe you pace back and forth waiting to figure out what you're going to have to fix?
I try to make every time the same lap. The cars come in, I check the front wing, the first thing, then I go around on the left-hand side, check the bodywork, check the floor, and you have to go under the car and see some fences, some damage or some stone chips, then you go back to the rear wing, check them, the rain lights and all the other stuff, and then the same on the right-hand side.
So it sounds like Michael's one of the people scurrying around rather than being fixed.
And I work on the car directly, the front right on Bottas.
You do?
Yes.
So
yes.
during a pit
but
stop.
But if you have a red flag or something, then you have to be out, and then you have to check the car.
Huh.
And so then you have to repair it.
So were you a mechanic before this, or were you an engineer?
No, carpenter.
You were a carpenter?
Yes. Wow.
That is not what I would have thought.
Yes, carpenter.
How did you transition from, fixing that sort of thing to fixing cars?
I was before a composite laminator in Sauber Motorsport to make the chassis and start with the front wings. And then the chassis. Because of my back, I can't more work at a carpenter. And now I work in Formula One, but it's some light pieces. So it's all carbon fiber.
Carbon's a lot lighter than wood,
so
it turns
that's
out.
What
that's nice.
Helped you with the transition because you're back and now you ended up in Formula One.
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
What a fun story. Okay, so how'd you get the job?
So and don't say what Dominic did and say I applied online.
Interesting, depends. I have an own race car and I want to build up some parts, but maybe not carbon, more to the fiberglass. And it's interesting and how to do it to make these proper parts.
Cool.
So you literally just decided, I know cars look good fun, let's go and try into that. Yeah. That's fantastic. Michael, what's the sort of biggest challenge of your job?
The biggest challenge? To make all these pieces in the correct time.
In the correct time.
Yeah.
So it's less about doing the job.
The most challenge is the time.
Yeah.
And
that's a life lesson, by the way, what you can take away from that. The biggest challenge...
Yeah, you have 2.5 hours between FP1 and FP2.
So it's the time and what
it's
you can achieve in that time.
Yeah.
Do you have a particular proudest moment?
It was the race in Mugello at the Corona time with Kimi. Well, there we have some two red flags and I cut it on the right-hand side, the complete floor in the pit lane.
Wow. So which race was this?
Mugello 2020.
Multiple cars off the road, including Max Verstappen in the middle of it. We've had drama on the opening lap. That will be, at minimum, a safety car.
Let's pick our way through this. Gasly tangles with the Alfa Romeo of Kimi Raikkonen, gets launched up into the air somewhat.
Raikkonen gets the contact initially and loses grip, then starts to lose downforce, of course. Kimi still has four wheels, and they're all pointing in the same direction, incredibly.
Then we was there with some deflex to cut the floor, with some glue and with some carbon pieces to make the turning wing holding on the floor. And after the race, you go in the Parc Fermé and then you see the car and it works.
I love that he said it works and then smiled. That was
repairing. This one is cool. And we not change only some parts. You have not so many spare parts, then you have to repair it. And it's great when you see, it works. My job is done and
Yeah, it's a very gratifying, I'm sure, because it's almost instant gratification when you say, I did this and this is what happened. You see the result.
So we're looking at a sort of bad thing happening of Kimi being in an incident with Roman, and you're thinking that's bad. But for you guys, it can give you some of your proudest moments because you've got to swing into action and find a car that, as you say, has been damaged because of that incident.
And it was the radio.
Yeah, and really satisfying when you go, we fixed it and it works and you can and get
that's
it.
That's so cool.
I'm so glad that we're able to give you props. That's so great. Well done. Yeah. Well done in that moment. I sure hope the team gave you props for that time too.
Yeah, the car chief.
And Michael, you've just come out the garage to talk to us. So what were you just doing? And now you're about to leave us. What's next on this race weekend?
I was now to prepare with the rear wing, the spare ones.
So you're going to make sure the spare rear wings work?
Yes, now ready.
Michael, it's been fascinating talking to you. It's fascinating getting an insight, not just into what you do and how you look after all the bits and how you repair cars, like when Kimi had his crash, but also to find out how you got into a Formula One.
That's
didn't know we had an ex-carpenter.
That is so fun.
Michael, such a pleasure to talk to you. We'll let you get back into the garage. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you too.
Great to chat to Michael, and we trust he had a lovely time making sure the spare rear wings did what they're supposed to. I know it sounds strange, but you sort of forget all the bits of the car have someone in charge of them, like Michael. Like, I'll never look at a rear wing in a garage the same again and think, that's someone's job, that rear wing. It's fascinating, isn't it? Right, we'll be back in a minute on F1 Explains when we're speaking to someone so important they have chief in their title. Like a sheriff or something. He's probably not a sheriff, but who knows? We'll find out in just a second. Welcome back to F1 Explains with me, Christian Hugill, where this week me and Katie Osborne are tackling a topic so big we've done it across two continents. We are answering Stacey and Reshma's questions on what all the people you see milling about in an F1 team garage do. Now, if we went through every job, this podcast would be about 5 hours long, and no one wants that. We've all got lives to get on with. So we've picked three. We've talked tyres and bodywork, and next here at Silverstone, it is time to meet Camillo. Now, there are loads of mechanics in an F1 team, but Camillo is the chief mechanic for Zhou Guan Yu.
My name is Camillo Zurker, and my role inside the team is a car chief from Wanju Zhou. Basically, I'm responsible and from the car of Zhou. Yeah.
Car chief, Camillo, is a great job title. It sounds exciting. And chief of the car, it sounds like an important role. Tell us what it involves.
It means a lot of responsibility. You are working with a big crew. And behind the crew is many people as well. So being responsible of the car, it means you have to follow all your crew and have the car ready on the green.
And I'm imagining you've got to be ready for anything, because Formula One cars can be complicated beasts, can't they? And quite often you'll send it out for a practice session and things don't work quite as you expected them to. Things don't quite work the way the simulator said they were going to work, or even in some cases things work better than you thought they were going to work. How sort of reactive is your role?
Yeah, exactly as you mentioned, sometimes gets more difficult the situation, or you have a lot of more things to solve, and sometimes gets more easy. Basically, yeah, about my role, you have to follow all the changes you have to do on the car, the build-up of the car as well, bolting the right parts on the car, and taking care about all the crew. They're working properly fine, and if they got any issues, you have to go there and support them. And, of course, I'm also building the car together with them, and like everybody also starts as a beginning in whatever role. We got also sometimes new guys, and you have to teach them how the way we are working on it, and so on. Yeah.
Camillo, we're speaking to all the lovely Sauber team members on this podcast on the Thursday of a race weekend. What does a typical Thursday look like for you? We're recording this interview fairly early in the morning. You've just arrived. What does it look like?
Typical Thursday, we are doing the build-up of the car, preparation. It means the preparation of the car. We are all putting the car together with the right parts the engineers are requesting for, depending on which track we are going to drive. It can change the configuration of the car, not only mechanical, also as well aerodynamics. So we are doing the whole build-up of the car, and we fired up the car for the first time on the weekend to check everything. It's working properly, fine, and as expected. And we do also the setup as requested to achieve the targets from our engineers that they have decided for the race weekend.
Now, how do you work with the driver? You mentioned you look after Joe's car. Where does your two's work cross over? Obviously, you're setting up the car and Joe's driving the car, so obviously it's fairly obvious in many senses, but how do you work together?
I got a good relationship with my driver, Wanju Joe, and yeah, he always, when I arrive to the garage, he's a really good guy, say hello to everybody. We got a really good relationship. He also sometimes make some questions about what have we changed from last weekends, and what kind of configurations of some parts we have bolted on the car for this weekend, trying to improve and give him a better feeling of the car to make him more comfortable during driving.
There's not just the driver, of course, though. There's also race engineers, performance engineers. How much are you talking with those team members, and how much do they feed into your role?
In my position as car chief, you have constantly contact with driver engineers and with performance engineer, because it's a teamwork. It's not only we as mechanics putting the car together, building the car. There are many, many things to follow, and it's a teamwork, and all together we exchange a lot of opinions and point of minds, and explain. They explain to us many things as well. We explain to them many things, because like I'm not sitting there in, let's say, in front of the computer looking data and doing simulations and all this kind of stuff that they are doing. They are not building the car and touching the parts and understanding so many things. So it's it's a teamwork. It's exchanging many opinions and know-hows from side to side. So it's full contact during the whole weekend, since even before the weekend starts, even before the Thursday, we are already talking about what is going to come next, you know, on this weekend.
And presumably there's a big list of people that you need to have that conversation with. How many mechanics are you in charge of?
On the car, building the car, we are 5 plus me. We are 6 persons building the car, actually. But behind, there are also many other people helping, getting ready components. We have also, I'm talking like for the brakes, you know, you have one guy responsible for the brakes for the whole team, so he's in charge of that. So, but maybe they are not putting the brake disc on the car and bolting on the car, but they are always in background helping, supporting us and following the kilometers of the brake pads, the brake disc, the calipers. We also have the guy responsible for the tires. That is a really important and big job. Maybe not everybody knows or see them, but they have many, many tires every weekend to take care about it. So.
Well, we've already spoken on this podcast to Dominic, who's in charge of tire performance, so we know how much of an important role that is. And presumably all of your roles across the weekend, as we say, we're here on Thursday, we can see part of a chassis being wheeled in behind us by the Mercedes guys at the moment as setup happens. But then your role must change going into practice tomorrow and then qualifying in the race. How does your role change as we progress and move through the weekend?
During the weekend, it can get a bit stressful, because you have a lot of pressure, a lot of changes to do, and you have to respect the deadlines to have the car ready for the green light. So it's a question of being really reactive, take decisions in short terms, and cooperate in a positive way, with a positive mood. Even if you have a problem or your car comes back after a session completely destroyed after a crash, you have to keep calm and just solve the situation and fix the problem and go for it.
Everybody I'm lucky enough to speak to in Formula One tends to enjoy their job. I'm guessing you're the same. But also recognises that there are challenges of the job, that it's pressurised, that they're long race weekends. What's the biggest challenge to your job, would you say?
Yes, you mentioned to be inside here, actually, you have to love motorsport, to love this job. You have to have it inside because it's really difficult, not only mentally because of stress or deadlines, also physically is really,
of course,
really tough, especially when we got this calendar with tight races or triple headers, double headers. So it's tough physically, so you have to be really fit and clever also in your mind, fit yourself as well properly, because if you don't fit yourself, you start making mistakes, or you cannot focus yourself or take decisions in short time on reaction. You have to be completely prepared for this.
Are there any moments of the job that particularly stand out for you, Camillo? Any proudest moments of your time in Formula One?
I mean, I born under a race car, so my life is motorsport. I love it. Being on track, I need it. I miss, for example, in winter, I missed being on the racetrack. So I can't wait to come back to the racetrack. And yeah, each weekend has his special moments. Of course, when you can get score points, that's a really nice moment for the whole team and satisfaction. But there are also little things like I'm also involved in the pit stop crew. I'm doing a wheel gun in our team. I love this adrenaline before the car is coming inside to do the pit stop and changing the tire, and you do a smooth tire change. You achieve your target. You know, there are many targets during the every day that you just get this satisfaction.
So as well as being car chief, you're also part of the pit crew. Is that a challenge, you know, bringing together both roles?
It's something more to add. You have the responsibility, in my case, to from a wheel gun, so that means you have to do many trainings. We are training during the whole year, during the whole winter, during the each weekend. We are also getting so many practices, and of course, it's not the role of one person. If you guys have seen it, we have three persons in each corner, and this is really teamwork. You know, it's the sequence between three guys have to match, you know. So it's a tough work and really a lot of dedications and sacrifice, and really focus and be really prepared mentally and physically and fit. Yeah.
How common is that, Camillo, to combine roles in a team or in a garage, with you being the car chief and also involved in the pit crew? Is that something that you often see in Formula One? Does it differ from team to team?
I don't know exactly the configurations of personnel in other teams. But I guess, yeah, probably some other car chiefs are doing as well wheel guns, because as I mentioned before, it's something that we love, being here working and building these Formula One cars. It's like the top of the motorsports, and I have seen also in other teams car chiefs doing these positions or being involved in the pit stop crew.
Sure.
So I mean, it's just a question of the capacity of each individual person. You know, also the team decide if you are right for that position or not. Or if it's too much for you, then they say, okay, this is maybe too much for you. Maybe you just take care about one role.
Yes, of course.
Because the benefit of the team. So they always try to find the proper person for each role.
Just finally, Camillo, so many of our listeners from all over the world here on F1 Explains, so many of them have ambitions themselves to one day get into Formula One or work in the sport or know people that want to. How did you get here? How did you graduate into this role?
I got a big story, long one, but yeah, as I mentioned before, I basically grew up, I'm born under a race car, thanks to my father. He was a hobby driver, you know, where I come from. And since then, I have been involved always in racing, driving, and building cars. And yes, so it's a question of if you really want to achieve a target, no, you just have to believe it and keep pushing till you make it. I'm not so many years here in Formula One. This is my sixth year inside the Formula One. But I have been trying to find a door open since 2005. So it's almost, it's a long way till I make it. So,
but a real nice example of keep trying until you do make it.
Exactly, yeah. This is really good advice for everybody. If you're really passionate from this sport and you want to achieve to the Formula One, you just try to... They never give up, you know, just to keep trying and pushing and focusing yourself, keep improving, and don't forget that you can learn from everybody. From everybody, you can learn something and get you better.
We've learned a lot from you, Camillo. Really appreciate your time. You're now going to go back across the way into the garage and carry on with a busy day setting up the car for the weekend. And we really appreciate you taking the time to chat to us before you do that, Camillo. Thank you.
Thanks to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Camillo. It's amazing how he multitasks. Like, he gets the car set up. In fact, he's in charge of the team that get the car set up. And then he's straight into his other role as part of the pit crew. It's absolutely amazing. I'm so full of respect for what the teams do here. They are absolutely amazing people. And it was such a treat to meet three of them who make the Sauber F1 team work. Thanks to Dominic, to Michael and Camillo. Me and Katie really enjoyed meeting them. There are, of course, thousands of other men and women working in the paddock back at the F1 factories. And of course, that means there are so many career paths in F1. And we are going to explore more of them in a future episode. You've asked us to do this. We know this is something you guys are interested in. So if you've got questions about the different jobs that exist in F1, we want to hear from you. Send us those questions and your voice notes to f1explains@f1.com. And you can check out our previous episodes too, where we've been behind the scenes with so many of the people you don't normally get to hear from in F1. It's what this podcast's all about. We've spoken to race engineers, tyre technicians, technical directors, racetrack designers, strategists, fitness coaches, pit stop performance experts, the logistics team at DHL, who've got a great big truck just behind us here. They move everything around the world for Formula One, and so much more. We spoke to the odd driver as well, would you believe? Just scroll back through the F1 Explains podcast feed and listen to those. And by the way, if you come to a Grand Prix, you can sometimes walk through the pit lane to see into the garages, and so many of the grandstands give you a good view of that as well. You get to see the pit crews practicing. It is a great part of the race weekend experience. So go to tickets.formulaone.com to get your tickets for this season. Right, thank you very much for listening to this week's F1 Explains. We've got new episodes every Friday, and as I've said, we want your questions on all things F1. F1 Explains at f1.com. Don't forget to subscribe. Bye for now.